What's up, gang? Welcome to this episode of Under the Log, the podcast where we talk to men and women that recently completed GORUCK events. Today we're talking to Corey Parsons about his very first GORUCK event, the Battle of the Bulge Tough up in Columbus, and among other things, we're going to talk about Corey's training, which involved going on two rucks, and his nutrition plan, which involved Burger King, Wendy's, and McDonald's. Yep, it's awesome. Before we get to our interview, we wanted to share some advice that we thought could have seriously helped out Corey, and that's to visit ruck.training. On the website, we offer free training guides for people wanting to do a GORUCK heavy, tough, or light, now basic. These guides are great to use as written or can be modified to meet your personal training needs. Check them out at ruck.training or check out the link in our show notes. With that, let's catch up with Corey. All right. Hey, Corey, man, thanks a ton for coming on the podcast. You know, we're going to be talking today about your recent GORUCK Battle of the Bulge Tough up there in Columbus. But when I was emailing you, I noticed that the email account that you were using was connected to RogueTreeSolutions.com. And so, of course, you know, I grabbed the URL, popped over there to check it out. And I've got to say, man, like, the promo video for your company pretty much got me so fired up. Like, I was ready to go grab a chainsaw, like climb a tree, cut it down. But you know, you're a little too far away to come down and cut down some trees for me. But before we get to talking about GORUCK and all that stuff, man, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So, first off, Ryan, I appreciate you having me on. These little things are kind of cool and I enjoy them. So I appreciate that. Yeah, so I'm 32. You know, kind of background on the whole GORUCK and that type of workout and mindset. It's all very new to me. My oldest brother, he's pretty into it. He does it quite a bit. He's my sales manager. He was in the military. You know, he got out, started working for me. And him and my director of operations, that's, you know, every weekend they're rucking. And it turned into, it was a lot of playful banter between us going back and forth. And that's kind of what got me into it, into the GORUCKing community, I guess you say. So, but yeah, we have some fun, man. We have a tree company, Rogue Tree Solutions. That's kind of what started, my entrepreneurship, since turned into, we've got three other businesses. Wow. One's a corporate landscape company that we pushed, mainstream property management for large corporations. Wow. So we have that. Then we have an investment company that holds commercial real estate, and we do commercial leasing to, other like businesses, and you know, we got an ambulance company, a couple small manufacturing companies, stuff like that that we lease to.
Nice.
So yeah, it's busy, man. I've got three kids and I've got three businesses, so it's it's a lot. As far as you know, the mindset of rucking, man, it's something I just want to touch on.
Yeah,
it's very unique. I was never into sports a whole lot. Obviously, I've always been very active outside. You see in the promotional videos, it's a very physical, demanding job. But over the last, the last 2 to 3 years, I've kind of lost the physical aspect. Mm-hmm. My day-to-day operations now is it's a mental game. I run the businesses, coordinate with our commercial clients. Mm. So it's a lot of meetings and behind the computer for me at this point.
Not as much actually getting up in the trees, huh?
Yeah, I haven't been in a tree for, it's been probably over 2 years at this point. And mentally that's tough because that's what I'm through and through a tree guy as much as I am a business guy. And I physically enjoy tree work. Mm-hmm. So, Dustin and Austin, my two employees, that's you know, pretty into rucking. They actually recently just they're trying to launch a local rucking Wayne County Ruck Club.
Nice.
Yeah, so they're trying to get people more involved, and so they go every weekend, and it got to the point they're like, man, you know this probably isn't for you. I don't know if you're quite built for this, and you know, just a lot of banter going back and forth. Like I said, I don't really do a whole lot of cardio. I've had a little bit more of a powerlifting type routine, I guess you'd call it.
Okay.
Over the last 10 years, that's basically the form of lifting I've done is more of a strength training. So it was tough. I went rucking I went two times before the event in Columbus. It was a battle.
Let me get this straight. This Battle of the Bulge Tough was your very first event.
Yes, sir. Yeah. First event and third time ever with a ruck on.
And the third time ever with a ruck on. And kind of all you do typically with training is like powerlifting. And that's it.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So obviously, I didn't really know what I was in for. Mentally, I'm a very, I don't know, I call it tough. Some uh-huh. people would call it touched. I've got a very, I don't know the way to describe it. Mentally, I'm good to go. Yeah. So I knew that if I was there and I was looking at like people, mm-hmm. that no matter how bad the pain got and being uncomfortable, like I was ready to endure whatever I could for as long as I could until I broke. So that was my mindset going into it.
That's the right mindset. But man, sometimes shocking your body like that, you can have the right mind, but it can mess you up. So like, did your brother, did those guys, like, I mean, obviously you kind of, if they're doing it this regularly, like you kind of know what they're into, but like, did they prepare you at all? Or they were like, hey man, just sign up for this thing and we'll see you there.
So they basically, they talked about it. They did a couple events throughout the summer. And again, man, it's tough for me. Like I said, I have three kids with the three businesses. So it's tough for me to commit to a weekend training regiment.
Yeah.
They rock every Saturday. So that was a little bit of an issue. And then, they mentioned they did a couple basics and they're like, hey, you should come. And it was always those things that just never worked out. Well, then it kind of became a joke. Like, dude, you always talk about doing one, but you're never going to do it. So I finally, they just kept pushing it and they're like, well, we're doing this event in Columbus. And they're like, but it's probably not for you. This isn't one you want to do. Well, finally they just kept talking and I'm like, well, I'm going to do it. So, at family events, it kind of become a running joke because, Austin, he's pretty close to our family. So, he'd be there and we're talking and, they're talking about all the condition and I'm doing, and I'm sitting there with a cheeseburger, drinking a beer. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'll be there, guys. And it kind of turned into a running joke. And then, we get down there. And then honestly, it kind of hit me about an hour before start time. I'm like, oh, wow. Like I'm here. I'm going to do this. Like, am I going to do this? So it was kind of one of those things, man. I signed up. I guess it's kind of like skydiving. Like once you get up there, it's go time. Like there isn't much of a choice at this point.
Yeah. Once you jump out of the plane, you're committed.
You're committed. Absolutely.
So that I'd love to hear about a little bit more about that. So, you sort of know what you're getting into. Definitely have not trained adequately. I'll just go ahead and tell you that you did not train adequately.
Right.
So it's an hour before, it's starting to dawn on you, like you roll up, like talk me through like rolling up and I know, even as somebody who's done a fair amount of events, like just roll call is stressful. Like what's going to happen? And then, usually there's a welcome party. I don't know if y'all had a little welcome party or not, but like talk me through like those emotions and thoughts and feelings, just kind of like in that right before it starts into right when it's like, oh crap, this is happening.
Yeah, and I think, Ryan, to be fair, something leading up to that point where this was a kind of a crucial thing to add to this. So with the tree company, we're a state contractor. Mm-hmm. We had a deadlined state job in Youngstown that we started the week of that Go Ruck event. Mm. So we got down, the job was a tough one, a lot of manual. You know, we have a lot of equipment, but there's sometimes equipment just can't get in there. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of manual work. Mm-hmm. This particular job, we had one of our very vital piece of equipment go down, we had X amount of time to get it done. So the day of the Ruck event, you know, I'd say most people probably, you know, relaxed a little bit, maybe got some late sleep in. We were up at 5 a.m. that day. We were working on the road by daybreak, was right around 7 o'clock. And we worked a full 10-hour day, and, you know, dragging stuff, chipping brush, trying to get this job done. So we get the job done. We literally jump in our vehicles, and, you know, this wasn't just me. This was Austin and Dustin.
Yeah.
Jump in our vehicles and we head down there. So there wasn't a whole, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of time for any of us three to rest. So it was, we worked a very physical day to the point where, you know, it's people that's never done that type of work, it's hard to understand the physical aspect of it. But
yeah, and I'd say not just the physical for you. I mean, that's a lot of emotional stress, right? So like you're putting out trying to get this thing done by deadlines. You know, I've had similar experiences where it's like, man, I'd love to chill out today, but man, this is nothing but stress leading up to something that's going to be physically and mentally stressful, and that just turns it that just makes it so much harder for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you throw in the cold factor, so you're outside all day in the cold. So you know, I get down there. We're all pulling into Park of Roses, where the event took place. Everyone's kind of getting out of their vehicles, and for me, it's funny, but I'm a snacks guy. Like, if anything I do, I have pockets full of snacks. Mm-hmm. So like, if I'm hunting, if anything that I'm out doing, I have to have snacks on me. I've been like that since I was a little kid. So I show up and I've got these like gallon freezer bags full of snacks, and Austin and Dustin, they're loving it. They're like, dude, what do you think you're doing? And I'm like, guys, like, if I'm going to do this long of like this much endurance of physical activity, like I got to have some snacks. So that was funny. Like, I see everyone else getting out, and you know, they've got the gear on, you know, they look to part, and then like, here's me. And the whole thing was kind of comical, until the welcome party started. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, it was the main thing right off the rip was they're going through everyone's gear, then you got to put it back in. And I'm like, man, this is going to be fun. And it was cold that night. You know, I think we were right around just below 20 degrees. So the cold thing wasn't a huge, huge issue for me. I wasn't too concerned with it. I am outside all the time. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't a big issue, but it definitely played a part into, you know, muscle failure and muscle fatigue. Mm-hmm. So the welcome party starts off, Aaron Hand was our cadre. He was, very nice guy, very unique individual to talk to, a lot of respect for him. But right off the rip, like, he starts drilling us and, you know, the PT starts, and that's something I just don't do. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't done PT since wrestling in high school. So we start doing it, and it's funny, like, the guys, you know, anyone that knows me, and they like to make fun of me because I puke almost over everything. Like, that's me, man. I'm a puker. So they're all making bets on how quickly into the welcome party I'm going to start throwing up. I never threw up once in the entire event, which I would have lost everything I had if I would have bet against myself. So I at one point in the welcome party, I look over and I see my brother, he's actually puking. And that gave me, I loved it. I loved it. So it was good though. So we're sitting there and we get done with that, with the welcome party, and we start getting, you know, the Israeli leaders out. Everyone's kind of divvying up the sandbags, which there was, we had a lot of stuff that Aaron planned on us to carry. Mm-hmm. So, which that was something I didn't really take into consideration when thinking about doing this event. Mm-hmm. So I knew I had my back or my ruck on. You know, I think it was just over 40 pounds with my gear in it. Mm-hmm. I was comfortable with that. The PT, I was like, I can get through the PT. The mileage, I'm not too concerned about. But the amount of coupons they had us carry, that was something I never really took into consideration. Yeah. So right off the rip, I'm on a four-man team of the with the Israeli leader. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, which they had, I want to say, roughly 240 pounds of weight on top of that. So we start off, we start off walking with it. And, you know, mentally I'm good. I'm in the rhythm. And these guys, you know, we're all kind of starting to get to, you know one another, ask some questions. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, I realized like I was definitely in for a night of hurt when the other three guys that I'm with, they're all, you know, they've done multiple events. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the food that they consumed for the last, you know, 3 days leading up to the event. And they're like, you know, they're talking to me. They're like, what did you eat today? And I was like, yeah, I had fast food 3 times a day. I was like, I woke up at 5. I got my McDonald's breakfast. At noon, I swung through and got Wendy's. And on the way down, I had Burger King. And I was like, dude, I didn't have the convenience of sitting at home and, you know, and preparing for this. Yeah. So that was at that point in time, I was like, man, I may be over my head here.
Yeah. Y'all, Corey Strait did a Go Ruck Tough with no training at all. I mean, I got to give it to him for showing up and giving his full measure of effort. Of course, Corey could have done himself a solid by visiting ruck.training and grabbing one of those free Go Ruck training guides that are posted there. You know, he's a busy dude with a family and like 3 businesses, so he could totally take one of the editable versions that we provide and modify it to meet his schedule and his needs. Well, maybe he'll check out our heavy guide. As for you, I mean, you can do whatever you want, but if you'd like to show up to your event prepared, go ahead and check out ruck.training. All right, let's see how Corey's story ends up. Well, it's interesting. I mean, because, you know, there so many people, I mean, especially when you do more and more of these, they certainly take like all these things into consideration. So it becomes very much like, you know, like an athlete training for a marathon or something like that. You know, they have training regimens and guides to help them figure out how to prepare, and then, you know, they have taper periods with their rucking, and, you know, people are watching their nutrition, their hydration plans going in. It's like, you know, it there's all this going into it, but, you know, there's also those of us who are just like, man, you know what, I'm here. Like, that's right. That's all I got. there was nothing. But it is super fun to hear from you, like, because, you know, I'm sure there are folks that totally just sign up completely unprepared. And you kind of look out there and you're like, oh, hey, you didn't know what you were getting into. And so it's always fun to see those folks and to come alongside them and see them figure it out as they go. And obviously you made it to the end. So you figured it out. How much harder was it than you thought it would be?
It was one of the hardest mental and physical pain that I've ever honestly been in. I am more than comfortable admitting that.
Yeah.
The worst part, and again, lack of conditioning was a huge issue for me. We got to, you know, one point, and we did the Robbie Miller WOD. That's not a joke of a workout. And honestly, it gave me a whole new respect for, you know, quote unquote CrossFitters and, you know, them type of individuals that do that type of workout routinely. And then you throw in the cold aspect and the ground. We didn't have snow at the time, but the ground was literally hard as a rock. So you're doing your WOD on this frozen ground, which definitely, you know, that threw a twist to it. After the Robbie Miller WOD, Cadre wasn't too happy with us at one point for something that was going on. So he pointed to a log in the that was laying in the woods. And was like, you know, and was like, you guys need to carry that. I'm not sure if he understood if he, at the time he realized how long from where you could stand and look, it looked like the log was about 15 feet. Well, it once it went under the leaves, it went about another probably 15 to 20. So there was, I think there was five of us on this log, and oh man, it was tough. It was tough. So
I love that y'all got under the log. I mean, this is obviously the Under the Log podcast, and so I am super interested. I mean, you're a tree guy. Like you've been under some logs in your life. Like,
right.
Like how different was this for you?
So the biggest issue with the logs was, so when we picked it up, I believe Dustin was on the very end of it and I was on the front of it. The issue was this height difference. You have a guy that's 6'1", 6'2", and then you have a guy in the middle that might be 5'7". It's an issue. Then you're trying to walk with this, and I believe it was an old elm log, and
I knew that you were going to tell me exactly what kind of tree it was.
Yeah. Well, the problem with it was is it was skinny enough that it had serious flex to it. So every time you walked and the different rhythms of the individuals on it walking, it literally, the log had a bounce to it the entire time. Instead of just sitting and, you know, resting into your shoulder, the entire thing was bouncing and jumping. So I actually, the whole like backside of my skull was bruised from it. My shoulder was bruised from it. So it, I did feel right at home when he was, you know, kind of, told us to get a hold of it. And not such a nice request, but we grabbed it, we walked with it.
Like when he said to go get the log, was there like part of you that was like, oh yeah, this is my jam, I got this, y'all?
I did. And I don't think we ever came off of the log until he told us, you know, we got to a point where he wanted us to do some PT. And thank God he didn't have us take it back up. 'Cause when we got done with that, it was brutal, man. I will tell you though, the worst part of the night where I had to dig very deep, is I want to say it was around 2 or 3 in the morning. You know, he wanted to simulate, some of the conditions of the Battle of the Bulge and some of the issues that those guys had. Now, keep in mind the ground being, it was worse than crawling on concrete because the field that we were in had a lot of raised areas of dirt. So it was like trying to crawl on like raised granulated like little nubs. So it was brutal. And we went, I don't even know the distance we went, but we were on our hands and knees for probably an hour and a half to 2 hours, dragging, you know, all the coupons. And there was a hill that, you know, he made us climb to the top. And then there was like a team that was falling behind, and he made like all of them simulate casualties. So we went back down the hill and we had to start dragging, you know, once we got all the coupons up, then we had to start dragging guys up. And at the end of that, I was teetering on, I was like, man, I don't know how much more I can do this. Yeah. Like my knees were just completely shot. And then he, you know, I think it was a little bit of on purpose, but sits and talks about the events of the Battle of Bulge, which brings a whole new perspective to your quote unquote, what you think the pain that you're in is a fragment to what these other guys know, what they went through years ago. So
yeah,
that's a very unique twist to it. So, right. So, no matter how much pain you think you're in, it's not that bad. And so that's what I kept thinking about, like, this isn't that bad. Like, this could be 10, you know, 10 times worse, a million times worse to what those guys actually went through in the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah. And I think that's the special thing about like events like this that are built specifically around, things like particular battles and experiences, because, you know, I mean, obviously I love to just go out and do a little bit of suffering for the fun of it. It's a weird hobby, but you know, that's something that I enjoy. But when there's events like this where it's connected to something that happened in our history, like to go and to experience even just a microcosm of that, but then to think about, you know, to listen to the cadre explain what these folks went through, it just really puts it into context. It helps you connect to that that event in a much deeper way. I mean, you know, it's interesting that you guys were in Columbus and it was 20 degrees. I mean, obviously the Battle of the Bulge occurred in really cold and challenging conditions. You know, I talked to some folks that did the Battle of the Bulge in Orlando, and I'm not sure that episode will be before or after yours, but you know, they were, one of the guys was talking about the challenge of like trying to think and connect to this Battle of the Bulge event while they're like on a beach and it's like 65 degrees, you know? Right. So, you know, for you guys to experience that 20 degree weather, climbing up on a frozen ground. I mean, that's what those guys actually experience, like freezing temperatures, solid ground, snow and all that. And so like for you, like, did you know much about the Battle of the Bulge before? And like, how did this event kind of inform that particular battle for you?
Yeah. So, I obviously anything military, I try to think about, history wise, especially, you know, World War II battles. So I was definitely familiar with the Battle of the Bulge. I was familiar with, you know, the amount of casualties that went into it. But some small things that you kind of don't think about. So yeah, you obviously, the normal person understands the aspect of war, right? And, you know, the possibility of getting killed, wounded, or captured. But you kind of forget about the little things that has to happen for those. So the amount of food that has to get brought into those, you know, you look at the trenches that those guys hand dug in frozen ground. You know, it's not like they had excavators and, you know, they were hand digging all of this stuff. So even before your actual battle, which most people would probably agree that's probably the toughest environment you could be in, but just the environment leading up to that, I think a lot of people just kind of look past and you don't realize how miserable that would have been, you know, just digging trenches alone with a spade shovel. It's tough to even try to put yourself in those shoes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that the GORUCK event was even a comparison, but it makes you sit and think about things. And there ain't much other things to think about when you're laying on a hill at 3 in the morning and it's, you know, 18 degrees and most of your body's wet from sweat. And then I think, you know, Aaron did an awesome job of highlighting what some of those guys went through and casualty numbers and their sacrifices. So when you're laying there and you're looking up at the sky and your body at this point, like I was at at that point, I pretty much had become numb. Most of my body was numb to the cold and the pain. And then at that point, it kind of transitioned from physical into mental. And I just sat there and you kind of just, it was a very like that feeling, honestly, it was kind of priceless. Like you're sitting there, you're at complete muscle failure. You're transitioned into a mental game and you're listening to Cadre, you know, kind of preach these facts. That's a very unique feeling.
So like you're on the other side of it now. You completed a Go Ruck Tough. You made it despite your complete lack of preparation. What's the takeaway for you? Like, what do you leave this event with coming out on the other end?
Yeah, so I think it's changed a little bit. Morning of, I was like, Dustin, Austin, this is great. There's no reason for me to ever do anything like this again. I was really questioning some serious life decisions, if I'm being completely honest. And you know, it was kind of cool though. Going back to my company, my rucksack, for example, my guys bought that for me for Christmas.
Oh man.
So that was kind of cool. The camaraderie of me, Dustin, Austin out there kind of going through the same amount of pain, together. That was a very cool experience, you know, especially when you tie that into the business side of it. Guys, we just went through, 12 hours of hell. There's not anything at work. We get through anything. Let's just, we just push forward. That's the only thing we can do. So the event itself, looking at it now, I've been trying to figure out what I want to do. So I have been trying to ruck with the guides almost every weekend since then, trying to get some different, tolerances built up. This past weekend, it was an ass kicker, man. We had roughly a foot of snow on the ground. And we went out, I think we did 5 or 6 miles on Saturday. I definitely want to do another one. I'm just figuring out kind of which side. For me, the winter events, I feel more comfortable with. Right. The summer stuff, man, some of that seems, you start doing that stuff in 90 degree heat.
It's tough.
I think that'd be very taxing.
Yeah, it's tough. And it's cool to hear, like, I think your story is similar to many folks. I mean, I know it was mine. You get done with that first event and you're like, that was really cool. Hardest thing I've ever done. And I'm glad that I'll never do that again. and then 2 weeks later, you find yourself on the Go Ruck website looking at events and you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Well, for me, physical, it was probably a week after the event physically, I was rough. But even hours after the event, I felt completely different mentally than I ever have, even with achievements or any type of accomplishments. Mentally, I felt 100% recharged after the event, which was, to me, was weird. That was hard for me to even try to, a lot of people's asked me about the event since. And that's something hard to explain for me is, I think honestly, I did the event one to see, if I still could dig deep as an individual, which, not that my job's made me lazy at this point, but it's taken me out of a physical game, put me into a mental aspect day to day. So I wanted to make sure like I could still dig deep and walk through those doors if I needed to. So that was kind of one thing with it. But, two, I think a lot of people would agree that's done them. At some point of the event, it does shift from a physical to a mental aspect. I knew physically I could get to it. But again, going back to that mental state, I wanted to make sure mentally I could dig deep enough. And that's what was super cool. So now my mindset's, well, how much more could you endure? So you know, I've talked with the guys and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to sign up for a heavy. And they just, they think it's the funniest thing in the world. And they're like, there's no way you could do a heavy. And I'm not saying I can or can't, but I do, before this year's up, I do want to sign up for one and give it a whirl.
Corey, man, that's friggin' awesome. Like, I love the connections and that you made and transferring it over to, I mean, the relationship with you, and your guys at the business, like that bond that you formed, like that experience of mental, clarity on the other side and commitment to what you want to do at work. I mean, I think that's so awesome. And I love that, like, you're like, all right, I think I want to do the heavy. And just listening to you, I think you're the kind of guy that, like, now that this is it, like, you're going to do what you need to do to get that heavy. And let me just tell you, man, you're going to love it. Like, it'll be hard. It'll take probably a little more preparation than you had for your tough. But, man, right, earning that heavy patch, it's special, man. And so I want you to stay in touch and let me know whenever that heavy comes around, and we'll have you back on the podcast and we'll talk about how the heavy was compared to the tough.
Oh, that sounds great.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you for your time, Corey, and all the best, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Ryan, and you have a great day.
All right, you too. I love it. Corey, just like so many of us, going from, nah, I don't think I'm ever going to do that again, to, you know what? I think I want to do a heavy. Classic GORUCK, y'all. Well, thanks for listening in to this episode of Under the Log. For show notes, links to stuff that we talked about, and a full transcript of the episode, visit us at underthelog.com. Of course, we'd love it if you subscribe to the podcast, tell all your friends about it, and maybe leave us a positive rating and review. Well, gang, that's it for me. We'll see you next time on the next episode of Under the Log.